The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 18, verses 15 to 22. This can be found on page 20 of the New Testament Bible, which is normally in your pew. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So over the summer, I've been fortunate enough to spend some time with family and to spend a week with our new grandson, Calvin Ray. Thank you for your prayers for us and the time leading up to the birth. He and his mother are doing well. We've got a... Before he was born, he already had a place in our hearts. He is loved. He is accepted and cared for before he has done anything at all. He just cries. Because he is part of the family, that is why he has a place in our hearts. It's to be expected he will make mistakes and do or say things that hurt those closest to him, but that doesn't take him away from the family. In love, we will continue to endeavor to help him to love God, to love others and himself. You see, family is important. And wonderful and messy altogether. It is in this context they approach the lectionary gospel passage for today, because I think that the community of faith is as important as family is to Calvin Ray. Today, we all continue our focus on the discipleship and how to be disciples. Throughout the chapter of Matthew's gospel that part of was read today, Jesus teaches about the importance of the community of faith. I think he thinks it's important too. And the role of disciples was to understand the importance of each member in the family and the family of faith, and to learn to act in ways that build and keep people in community, keep that community strong. As we can see from the first lines of Matthew 18, the disciples had a lot to learn, and perhaps we are more like them than we would like to admit. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They asked Jesus. Now that's a question that comes from competition, ego, and pride, and a desire to be greater than others, to get our own place greater than others. In response to this very human question, very human attitude, Jesus taught about disciples' responsibility to form and keep community. In Matthew 18 alone, Jesus gave the disciples at least seven ways to act that build community. These are things they have to learn how to do and continue to learn how to do better. The first was about respecting and loving others as self. Jesus said, humble yourself to be humble like a child. In God's way of being, the humblest is the greatest. What could be more humble than a baby who arrives naked and dependent on others for everything? A baby who does not know anything but must be open to learn from those around him how to do anything, even to smile. To be my disciples, Jesus said, do this. Humble yourself like a child. How often do we fail to think about discipleship as being humble? And we rather think about discipleship as having the right answers. Lesson 2. Help others be successful. It may seem obvious, but Jesus said it and he stressed it. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the little ones. Now, I don't believe the disciples were going around intentionally slipping rocks under people's feet or sticking their feet out to trip others. I just don't think that was happening. I may be wrong. I wonder, though, if there are ways that we trip up others. We don't intentionally put our feet out either, do we? Or throw rocks under people's feet. Perhaps we require more of them than necessary in following Christ, or saying something that makes others think less of them. Perhaps we expect them to live up to our standards rather than being accepted because they are God's children. You see, such actions break community. They divide people. Jesus says that community is really important enough to work towards. As disciples, our actions towards others count. Our words about others count. Don't be responsible for others failing. Lesson 3, seeking the lost. For this, Jesus told the story of the lost sheep. For many of us, this has been a comforting story of God's love for us and the lengths God will go to find us. But Jesus ends with, so it is not the will of the Father in heaven that one of these little ones be lost. So my question is, why is this in the middle of Jesus' teaching about the responsibilities of disciples to the community of faith? It's not just about God's lovely love for us, which is wonderful and amazing. But it is not God's will that any be lost. If that is true, then as disciples, we should work to ensure that none is lost. Disciples are to seek others and bring them back just as God has sought us. We are called not just to invite others in, but continually and intentionally restore people to fellowship, restore those who have been lost, go and find them, bring them back. So there are buts, right? How many of you just said, okay, yeah, but. What about when others hurt me? What about when we disagree? What about when they disappoint us and make decisions we disagree with? Jesus taught, when we feel we have been wronged, it's true. Too often that we show the gap between what we say we believe and what we actually do. We all need to work on this aspect of discipleship, just as the disciples did, which brings us to what was read today about the process Jesus taught for how to act when conflict arises. Now I'm going to tell you, conflict will arise. It's a matter of being together as human beings, whether it be in the family of faith, or in community, neighbors, conflict will arise. But Jesus gives actions that work towards resolution, even if you feel you are the wrong party. In fact, especially if you feel you are the wrong party. Jesus says, go yourself. Don't embarrass them in front of others. Go and talk to that person. If there is no resolution, then take it to one or two others and have them come with you and help in that meeting. He goes on with two other steps, and they are more difficult to talk about right here, but there are many steps. In the end, we are to treat others like a child of God who doesn't know about God yet. Amazing. We are to act in love and reconciliation always towards them. Now, I want to tell you that Peter doesn't sound like he was very impressed. So he listens to Jesus teaching about this, and maybe you have the same kind of question. But Lord, how many times must I forgive one who sins against me? How about 7 times? Sounds reasonable, right? That's a lot of forgiveness. Jesus said, forgive until you lose count, and then continue forgiving until you reach the most perfect amount of forgiveness as God's perfect amount of forgiveness has been shown to you. Now I wonder how different the church would look today if disciples of all time had sought to outdo each other in restoring, reconciling, and forgiving each other rather than in being greater as they saw it. I think it would look different. The 7th thing Jesus said in this chapter on community is about taught by a story of an unforgiving servant. I'm going to leave that to you to read. He gives words and images to carry with us, to remind us of how to follow Jesus' way even when it hurts. It seems from this passage that Jesus was clear about the importance of community and being community together and the importance of each individual in it, you and all others. About the importance of humility and forgiveness and love and restoration and reconciliation. So as we continue our series in discipleships, this is an important lesson for us. Not just information to know, though. Ways to learn and practice in the days ahead. Ways to learn and practice acting in the world to effect reconciliation. So what does this actually mean on the ground in September the 10th, 2017, to you and the pews and me? I think the first thing is that community is important in the life of faith, important enough to work for. I wonder on this first day of the program year at St. Andrew's whether it's important enough to covenant to be and act in community this year. To find new ways to support the community, to be part of the community, to build up others in faith as well as being built up ourselves. I wonder if you can make community a priority this year. Secondly, our call as disciples is to work to be community, not just to expect it to happen, to be humbly learning from others, to respect each other and contribute to the life together. Thirdly, in a congregation the size of ours, the truth is we're not going to be best buddies with everybody in the pews. We're not going to get to know everyone well. But it's important that we take time to get to know others and to encourage others in faith. Perhaps you can do that through a Bible study or through choir or praise team, through involvement in a team or being a leader in Sunday school, through talking with those who sit around you in church. Perhaps I wonder today, if you've been here before, you can look around and notice who's missing. Perhaps you could take steps this week to see how they are doing and let them know they've been missed. The truth about community is it does take work. Like Jesus' disciples and the early church, conflict will happen. The truth is that we are much more eager to be forgiven than to forgive others who have hurt us. We are much more interested in finding ammunition to lob at someone rather than seeking reconciliation. That's much easier. As disciples, today too, it is our responsibility to take the initiative to be forgiving and reconciling people. This means we are to take the responsibility to talk with another, to seek the lost, to ask for forgiveness, to go to someone who has wronged us. I wonder if there's somebody you need to talk to today. And when someone wrongs us, we're not to get even, to unfriend that person, or seek to have them leave or even give up. Well, community isn't that important here. I don't like the way it works, so I'm going to walk away. Jesus tells us that it's important enough to work to achieve. If we need help, we have others around us, and we have a process outlined in Matthew 18. So let's learn it and use it. Lastly, how we talk about community and represent it to others shows people the light of the world or obscures the light of the world. Let's watch what we say about those with whom we disagree, those who don't practice this faith the same way we did, or who don't understand the same way we do. Let's talk about this as God's community, people who, like us, are learning to live in God's ways. You see, just like human families, the community family of faith is important and wonderful and messy altogether. We will not always agree on our thoughts about God or how we should dress or on music choices or on many other things. But we are all called as disciples to live the way of forgiveness. I know each of you is called to that, to lead the life and the way of reconciliation. Jesus says, "Others will come to know you are my disciples by the way you treat one another, by the way you do love to each other." In a culture rife with competition, retaliatory behavior like Facebook unfriendings, to live out the way of forgiveness and humility is truly countercultural. It is truly remarkable, just as it was back in Jesus' day. If we took Jesus' teaching to heart this year, today, and truly tried to implement it, I wonder what might happen in your life this year. I wonder what might happen in our midst, in our city, in the world. I close with a story adapted from the story I first read in Scott Peck's book, A Different Drummer. The Church of the Reluctant Disciples once was a thriving congregation, but it had fallen on hard times. The congregation had dwindled to a handful of members who continued to meet for worship and wondered where the others were. The minister engaged a consultant who surveyed the situation, and they all met together after worship on Sunday. The consultant said, "Many family communities, many faith communities are having the same experience as you're having. Times have changed. The ways of doing things have changed, even in faith. No way forward is certain." He said, "I only have one suggestion. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered and agree, I am with them." What if you truly believed that Jesus is with you wherever you meet each other? Would that change how you act if you thought that Jesus was thinking and hearing and seeing what you were doing and saying? Now, the congregation thought a little bit. They weren't sure that that was the help that they needed. In fact, it wasn't what they wanted. But they took it, and the next Sunday, when they passed the peace of Christ, some of them began to do so and wonder what Jesus would think of what they were saying to each other. During the week, they began to treat each other with a little bit more respect as Jesus taught, in case Jesus was with them. They became more careful about how they spoke about others and the congregation, as if Jesus was listening. They began to address old hurts and seek forgiveness and ways forward as Jesus taught, because they began to see that Jesus was listening. They began to notice the good things happening in their midst and began to enjoy their time of being together more and more. Visitors to the building started to comment on the extraordinary care with which they were treated. It didn't happen overnight. But the outsiders began to talk about how this congregation seemed to act on what they said they believed. As they worked together, others joined them in projects, in programs, and they found they also were treated as if they belonged, as if God had invited them in. God's presence was known in the way they treated each other. and the way they trusted God's way above all other ways they had learned. Instead of a dying church, it became a place of hope, a place of life, not just for those in the congregation, but also in the community. I wonder what could happen if we acted on what we believed. May God's kingdom come and God's will be done. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.